In this upcoming Zman Now, we are privileged to host Rabbi Michal Zilberman. Rabbi Michal Zilberman, as I mentioned, is Skam and Nahel at the Beis Din of America in New York City. He's also a Rosh Chabura at the YU Smicha program. He is somebody that I've been merited to learn from for many years, going back to our days in Camp Yesharim Kolel, many times since then. And it's a tremendous opportunity that our community has to learn from him, as he's going to give a series related to files of the Beis Din of America. In Yanei Evena Ezer, but drawing both on his mastery of Shulchan Aruch and its commentaries and the topics themselves, but also practical halacha as it's administered in the Beis Din. With no further ado, Rabbi Zilberman, I'm just going to post his Marmo Komos in the chat underneath.
Thank you, Rabbi Shabtai. It's an honor to be with you to begin this series together. If you'd have asked me a year ago to come and give Shirim to Boca in February, I probably would have jumped at the opportunity. I would not have thought that it meant sitting in my attic in New Jersey watching 2 feet of snow coming down in blizzard-like conditions, but we make the best of what we have. I'm very happy to be with you anyway. One of the functions of Beis Din, beyond the more famous, well-known functions of administering Gittin, of dealing with Dinei Torah, of dealing with adjudicating disputes, is making personal status determinations, particularly in the context of eligibility to marry, which is something that we do often. Sometimes we're called upon to determine whether there are restrictions on someone's marriage, either because of a concern of mamzerus, of being the product of an illicit relationship, someone who's not eligible to marry a Kohen, a question about a conversion, or things of that sort. And these are all important functions that a Beis Din deals with. So what I'd like to discuss over the next series of Shiurim are various personal status determinations that a Beis Din deals with. Now, the primary status question is a very basic question of whether a person is Jewish. Usually it's in the context of getting married. Sometimes it's in the context of making aliyah, where the state of Israel requires proof of Jewishness in order for someone to immigrate under the law of return. And often a Beis Din is turned to help make those status determinations. Now, as you know, there are two ways that a person could be Jewish. A person could be born to a Jewish mother, or a person could convert. We'll probably talk about some conversion matters later in the series, but for now, at least for today, we'll focus on determining whether someone is indeed Jewish. How do we prove that someone was born to a Jewish mother? When do we take a person at his word? When do we require more rigorous proof? Now, ultimately, in many situations, this determination of Jewishness is the responsibility of a Misadr Kedushin, of someone officiating at a wedding. The ultimate determination as to whether someone is Jewish needs to be made in advance of performing a wedding on such a couple, because it would obviously be irresponsible for a rabbi to officiate at a wedding without determining and knowing that the people that he's marrying off are indeed Jewish. And when it comes to making post-facto determinations of Jewishness, a lot of stock is given into whether someone was indeed married by an Orthodox rabbi. Our Beis Din, who just passed away, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was very much a proponent of giving a lot of slack, so to speak, deference to an Orthodox Masada Kedushin, and assuming that under most circumstances, if a couple was married by an Orthodox rabbi, that's usually proof positive that they were Jewish, although even every rule has its exceptions, and there are situations where even the most reliable Orthodox rabbi may be misled or not have access to certain information that only comes to the fore later on. But let's analyze through sources what we need to know in order to make a determination of Jewishness. So I'm going to share the screen over here. There we go. Okay. The first source we're going to look at is a Rambam in Isurei Bia Perek Yotes Halacha Yud Zayin. The Rambam, working off a Gemara in Kedushin Ayin Vav, writes, Kol Mishpachos Becheskas kasheros. All families are presumed to be marriage eligible. Umutar lisa mehen lechachila, and a person is allowed to marry into those families without question. The af al pi kein, nevertheless, imra isa shte mishpachos shemisgaro zu bizu tamid. If you see two families that are always at loggerheads with each other, that are always fighting, o ra'isa mishpacha shehi ba'alas matzam riva tamid, or you see a family that's always fighting internally, o ra'isa isha humarbe mariva imako, or you see someone that just starts up with everyone around him, picks a fight, the az panim biyoser, and is exceedingly arrogant, choshishin lahen, you have to be concerned that maybe there's something wrong in the family. Maybe there's a yichus problem. V'ruay l'srachek mehen, and you should stay away from marrying into such families. She'elu simanei pasosheim, because these are signs that a person may be marriage ineligible. V'chein haposel sacheirim tamid, so too, if someone always is out to besmirch others, to try to claim that other people are not legitimately Jewish and of proper background. So the Rambam says you have to be concerned that such people may in fact not be marriage eligible. Maybe there's a concern that they're not eligible to marry a Kohen, that there's Mamzeris there, that there's some problem in their yichus. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezer, Simin Beis. So lest you think that this is simply a homiletical point, that if you see families that are acting arrogantly, that are fighting, that they may not be fully Jewish, there may be a yichus problem. There is a relatively recent psak in one of the Batei Din in Israel. The Batei Din Rabbanim, the rabbinical courts in Israel, for many years in the pre-internet era, would publish an annual volume of highlights of their different rulings. And in recent years, it's become all digitalized. So they're sent out to the mailing list whenever they come out and are published. So there was one ruling from the Beit Din in Haifa from June 2018 with the following storyline. There was a couple that appeared in front of the Beis Din for a get, a fairly straightforward matter. And in the course of the proceedings, it came out that there were certain allegations of infidelity on the part of the wife. And the Beis Din was a little bit shocked at the level of explicitness in the wife's admission to being involved in such inequities. And the Beis Din felt that the wife was overly forthcoming in a way not befitting a Jewish woman. So the Beis Din decided to do some investigation as to the Jewishness of this person, quoting this Rambam and the citation of Shulchan Aruch, that if you see someone that is exceedingly haughty and not conducting themselves appropriately, there might be a question about their Jewishness. And in fact, they discovered upon further investigation that this woman's mother had forged documentation to prove Jewishness and was in fact 100% not Jewish. That was the determination of the Beis Din. They weren't planning on looking into that, but they saw this as a sign, the woman's conduct as a sign of some yichus issue, and made that determination that in fact the woman was not Jewish, and they fined her 25,000 shekel as a knas, as a penalty for having this forged documentation. There's another case in one of the Batei Din in Israel a couple of years before that of a Kohen, who was trying to demonstrate to the Beis Din that he was indeed not a Kohen in order to marry a woman who was not Kohen eligible. The Beis Din, you know, one of the things the Beis Din does to determine whether someone's a Kohen is look at cemetery records, look whether the Metzeva has indication of the person being a Kohen, the standard signs of Kahuna that you would find on a Metzeva of the hands in a Birkas Kohenim pose. So apparently, the Beis Din discovered that this person who was trying to prove that he was not a Kohen actually went and doctored a matseva of a grandfather and had the matseva that had the dayim removed and put in another matseva. And the Beis Din was able to find out that, get to the bottom of the fraud and realize that they were being tricked. The other direction There's a story that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein has in one of his collections of the Parsha. I believe it's in the Aleinu L'Shabeach in Parshas Vayakel, a story that was brought, or a question that was brought to his father-in-law, Rav Liashiv Zatzal, of a Baal Tshuva, who had come a long way and was basically fully observant at this point, except for he could not shake his smoking habit, and there was no way that he could stop smoking on Shabbos. He was keeping Shabbos 100% otherwise, but he couldn't break the cigarette habit on Shabbos. So they went to Rav Liashiv and asked him for an Eitza. Rav Liashiv said, you should look into his Yichus. So they did, and they determined that this person who was a Baal Tshuva was actually not halachically Jewish. They brought him to do a Geirus. As soon as they did the Geirus, then he had no more problem refraining from smoking on Shabbos. Because after all, a non-Jew is not permitted to observe Shabbos. And this person who was halachically not Jewish, apparently, unbeknownst to him, through some force, was avoiding keeping Shabbos fully until he was properly converted. So these things that seem to be homiletic may actually have a halachic component indeed, as presented. Okay, but be that as it may, what emerges from the Gemara, from the Rambam, from the Shulchan Aruch, is that absent a red flag, the presumption is that if a family comes in front of us and all indications are that they are marriage eligible, then there's no need to be concerned in that context about the possibility of Mamzeris, the possibility that maybe someone was born from an illicit union and is not able to marry freely. There is a somewhat contrary position that is quoted here in the literature. If you look in source number three, the Gemara in Kedushin Ayin Vav, source number two, says that kol mishpachas becheskas kasheras heinomdos, that all families are presumed to be kosher. Rashi, their comments that we're only concerned where there's a knowledge of a problem. But absent any red flag, you don't have to do any checking. However, there is a position of the Rama, one of the Rishonim, quoted in the Torah and quoted in the Beis Shmuel. Beis Shmuel is one of the super commentaries on the side of Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Shmuel and Simon Beis and Eben Ezer quotes this position of the Rama, that even if there is no red flag, you have to do some investigation to make sure that there's no concern of Mamzeris, that there's no concern of someone who is marriage ineligible. And there's a question whether we are concerned about this position of the Rama. So that all deals with the questions beyond Jewishness, whether we're concerned about other impediments to marriage, concern of Mamzeris, or ineligibility to marry a Kohen, where there's a Kohen in the picture. What about proof of Jewishness itself? If a person comes forward, we never met him before, and he says, I'm Jewish, do we believe them to represent that they are Jewish? So the Gemara in Psachim and Daf Gimel Amid Beis has a famous story that there is a certain non-Jew who used to come to Yerushalayim every year on Erev Pesach and eat from the Korban Pesach, which a non-Jew is not allowed to do. And he once went and bragged to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir about the fact that he would go to Yerushalayim every year and they'd ask him, they'd give him from the Korban Pesach to eat, no questions asked. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir was able to trip him up and catch him so that they would get on to his tricks. The Tosas there is bothered by the following implicit problem. Tosfos Psachim Gimel Amid Beis, Mikan ein raya shenamin l'chol haba lefanenu v'omer yisraelani. So the fact is that this non-Jew went to Yerushalayim every year. They gave him to eat from the Korban Pesach, and no one asked any questions. So don't you see from there that you can believe anyone coming off the street who represents that he's Jewish? The Tosfos says, not necessarily. Don't prove from here the fact that they didn't ask any questions of this non-Jew in Yerushalayim. Don't prove that in general you can believe anyone to represent that they're Jewish. Deshani hacha derov Yisrael hayu. That was a different case because the majority were Jewish. The Azlina and Basaruba, we follow the majority. What does that mean, the majority was Jewish? Either the majority of residents of Yerushalayim were Jewish, or the majority of people coming to eat from the Korban Pesach are Jewish. So in that context, where you have a majority of Jews, you can assume, absent a red flag, that any individual is part of that majority. However, Tosa says, even if you can't prove it from the Gemara in Psachim, there are other proofs that a person is indeed believed to claim that they are Jewish. Proof number one, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph has a story of someone who was the product of a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father. So the product of a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father is eligible, the progeny is eligible to marry a Jew, but there were people that didn't want to make a shidduch with such a person. So Rav said to this person, Zilgali, either go to a place where they don't know you, oh, Nasib Basminach, or marry someone of similar stock. So the fact that Rav recommended to go to a place where they don't know you, implying that no one's going to ask any questions, that sounds like a person is believed about their status based on their own self-representation. And proof number two is from a Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Mem Vav. The Gemara there says that if a person comes and claims that he converted, if we know the person to have been previously non-Jewish, then he's not believed to say that he converted. However, if we don't know the person at all, and he comes and he says, I converted, we believe him to say that he converted because of amigo, an argument that he could have said a better claim, that we believe him to say that he converted, meaning he was born non-Jewish and converted, because had he said he was born Jewish, we would have believed him without question. So that Gemara also indicates that we believe someone off the street who claims to be Jewish, absent a red flag. Okay. And Tosos in Yevamos on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschil B'Muchzak, Tosos there assumes that the simple reading of the Gemara in Sachem also indicates that a person is believed to say that they're Jewish, absent any proof, if there's no red flag. So it emerges, whether or not the Gemara in Sachem, the story of the non-Jew that ate the Korban Pesach, is dispositive or not, but what emerges is that unless we know someone to be non-Jewish, a person is believed to come off the street and say that he is Jewish, because we follow a rov. Either the rov of the people that come and say that they're Jewish are in fact Jewish. There is a comment of the Ritva, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph in Yevamos, who has an additional perspective on this question. The Ritva writes, what about the Gemara in Psachim, the non-Jew that came and they gave him to eat from the Korban Pesach? The Hacha Mairi B'Muchzak Lo Shehugai. So if a person comes off the street and we beforehand knew him as a non-Jew, then he's not believed to say that he's Jewish. Halav Hachi, but short of that, if we have no previous knowledge about this person's status, Kol Sheba V'Amar Yisrael Ani. Anyone who comes forward and says that he's Jewish, O Gerani, or that he converted, Neman, he's believed, B'som Chemalav L'chol Davar, and we rely on him for anything that needs proof of Jewishness, D'milsa Davida L'gluyehi V'lo Mishaker, that a person's status is something that is going to come out at one point or another anyway. It's a milsa davida legluya, something that's going to be revealed. And there's a presumption that if the information is going to come out anyway, then someone's not going to lie in a situation where he would get caught in the lie down the road. So a person's Jewish status is milsa davidi l'guya, something that's going to come out in the open, and we're not concerned that someone's going to lie about such a status. According to the Ritva, it's not just that we follow a rove, it's not that we assume that the majority of people that self-represent that they're Jewish are in fact Jewish, but more than that, it's a milsa davidi l'guya, something that's going to come out in the open, and we're not concerned that someone's going to lie about information that's going to come out into the open. Okay, so far, we've seen that if a person is known to be non-Jewish, then they're not believed to come and say that they converted absent a proof. If, however, we have no knowledge of the person beforehand, they may or may not be Jewish, they come in off the street, then they're believed to say that they're Jewish, either because the majority of people that come and say that they're Jewish are in fact Jewish, or there's a consideration of milsa davidi l'guya, it's something that's going to emerge, come out in the open anyway, and someone's not going to lie about such information. Okay. However, there is a comment of Reb Chaim V'Loshner. Reb Chaim V'Loshner wrote a sefer of tshuvas called Chut HaMeshulash. And Reb Chaim V'Loshner, writing 200 years ago, has the following comment. We're going to look at it in a citation where it's quoted by the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish quotes, Hagrach, referring to Reb Chaim V'Loshner, Kasav, Dim eino makir sfas ha-Yehudis. If a person doesn't know Yiddish, Av she'omer shehu Yisrael, even if he claims to be Jewish, Ein Onaman, we don't believe him. The Ein Kan Rov Habayin Lefanenu B'Toras Yados Yisrael. You can't say in this situation that the majority of people who represent that they're Jewish are in fact Jewish, because how could he be Jewish if he doesn't speak Yiddish? V'lachein Ein Onaman Lomar Gerhu B'Migo. In that situation also, a person isn't believed to say that I converted, and believe me that I converted, because I could have said that I was born Jewish and you'd believe me that I was born Jewish, because it's not true. The guy doesn't speak Yiddish, so how could he be considered Jewish? So Reb Chaim V'Loshner said, it's true that if a person walks in off the street, in principle, we believe them to say that they're Jewish, but only if it seems to fit in context. If the person doesn't present themselves as Jewish, i.e., in Volozhin in the early 1800s, doesn't speak Yiddish, then they have no believability to claim that they're Jewish. It says the Chazon Ish, the Nira, Dehachi Kimle Lamaran B'makom Hanidon B'Shaito. So that's true that if someone is walking around in Volozhin in the beginning of the 19th century and didn't speak Yiddish, then it's highly unlikely that they were Jewish. But you can't make absolute rules for all places and all times. But nowadays, in Bnei Brak in the 1940s or 50s, there are plenty of people that don't speak Yiddish. And nowadays, it's probably fair to say that the majority of people who are Jewish are not Yiddish speakers. So Reb Chaim V'Loshner was talking in a certain historical and sociological context. The principle may be true, that there has to be a certain context in which you can assess the representation of Jewishness, but that context shifts based on time, place, society. So what was true for Reb Chaim V'Loshner wasn't true for the Chazon Ish. Rav Yashiv makes a similar point in the context of the wave of Russian immigrants to Israel in the 1990s. Rav Yashiv, in his collection of Tshuvos, Kovetz Tshuvos, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel, addresses the following. But just as Rav Chaim V'Loshner said that if someone doesn't speak Yiddish, you can't assume that they're Jewish, even if they represent that they are. So if someone is an observant of halacha, so maybe they have no believability to claim that they're Jewish either, because a proper Jew is observant of halacha. So Rav Yashiv says, you can't make that argument when it comes to the Russian immigrants coming from the former Soviet Union, because almost no one there kept Torah mitzvahs. It was almost impossible to be a fully observant Jew. So the fact that someone comes and represents that they're Jewish, even if they're not observant, the lack of observance doesn't create a red flag to question their Jewishness. And that doesn't mean that we would automatically accept them as Jewish, as we'll see in a few moments. But as far as that point, that believability is compromised based on context. So the context of non-observance doesn't necessarily pose a red flag for establishing Jewishness. Rabbi Moshe Klein, the son of the late Rabbi Menashe Klein, who wrote a very fine work on Hilchos Geirus about 10 years ago called Mishneh Sager, so he points out another consideration when it comes to the Russians, that the whole premise of believing someone to say that they're Jewish, according to Tosfos and many, is the fact that there's a rov. The majority of people that come and present themselves as Jewish are in fact Jewish. However, that may not be true regarding the Russian population coming to Israel in the 1990s. There it's very possible that the majority or almost the majority of people who came were not halachically Jewish. So maybe even that argument of rov, of majority, doesn't hold sway in that situation. There's another important source that is critical to how we assess these questions in practice. And that is quoted in the Bar Hetev, one of the super commentaries on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, Evin Ezer Simon Beis. The Bar Hetev refers to Beis Hillel, also on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Misha ba me'eretz acheres. If a person comes from a foreign land, hein ish o isha o bachar o besula, be it a man or woman, be it a single man, a single woman, o alman almana, be it a widow, widower, sarach raya shu yisrael. He has to bring a proof that he or she is Jewish. The avshem misnagim kedas yisrael, even if they act Jewish, umidabrim bilshoneinu, when they speak Jewish, v'yodim chol tuv hayehudim, and they are aware of Jewish practices, afal pikein srichin raya. So they still require a proof of Jewishness. V'chein hu takanas medinas lita, and this was a takana, an edict, or a decree in Lita, in Lithuania. She'ein l'sader shum kedushin, ela im kein she'yesh lo raya shu Yisrael. So the Bar Hetev references a takana in Lita going back centuries, not to be Mesadar Kedushin, not to officiate at a wedding, unless there is, for someone coming from another country, unless there is positive proof of Jewishness. So even though, as a matter of principle, in principle, someone comes from a foreign land, we never met them before, and they say that they're Jewish, they're believed. However, there is this takana going back centuries in Lita that you would not believe such a person without a proof. So even if someone acts Jewish, speaks Yiddish, knows everything about Judaism, if they're coming from another country, you need some kind of proof, documentation, testimony that they are Jewish. So this takanas medinas lita, in a sense, is the operating parameters of how things run currently in the state of Israel, that in order to get married, you need to present to the Beis Din a proof of Jewishness. And this is generally how we operate outside of Israel also, at least for people who aren't longstanding members of a community. So if someone's been in a community and is known to the community and their parents are known, and they're known to be Jewish, then there's no need to ask further questions. But if someone comes from a different community where we don't know them, someone comes from a less religious background, and there may be questions about status, so then sometimes a more definitive determination needs to be made in order to prove the Jewishness. So when the Beis Din is asked to make such determinations of Jewishness, the types of things that we look at are a combination of the following. There's no absolute formula that everything always fits into a neat box, but the types of things that we look at in order to prove Jewishness, especially from people coming from other countries, are Jewish practices in the family. Did the even if they were not generally religious, did the grandmother light Shabbos candles? Did they have a Seder? Did they have certain Jewish practices in the home? Was there a Seder Kedushin somewhere on the maternal line by an Orthodox rabbi? Was an Orthodox officiant at the grandparents' weddings? We might look at cemetery records. Is there evidence from the Matseva, from the cemetery, of the person being Jewish? We would look at immigration records. Often a nationality and religion is referenced on immigration records going back to the pre-war period, which in and of itself is not necessarily proof, but if you throw it into the mix, that could be helpful as well. Census records also. Now census records through the 1940s are public record. So through 1930, the U.S. Census records listed spoken languages. So if you have someone listed in the 1920 census as living on the Lower East Side with the name of Goldberg that spoke Yiddish, then that's probably a good indication that they were Jewish. We may not be able to prove something on that alone, but that's a pretty good piece of information to throw into the mix. And now online search engines like Ancestry.com are very helpful because they often have records going back many decades that the family themselves may not be aware of. Records including immigration and census, et cetera, civil marriage documents as well. So all these things are important in making determinations of Jewish status, and there's no absolute formula, but a combination of some of these factors together will give us a comfort level of the Jewishness of a person. There's a chuv in the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Zayin Siman Mem, where he deals with adoption. What believability does an adoption agency have to represent the religion of the adoptee? Tzitz Eliezer was asked about a case in Morocco where apparently the adoption agencies were under religious auspices, and there was a Christian or a Catholic adoption agency that represented that a certain adoptee was Jewish. And there is a level of governmental recognition, or the agency was an arm of the government, and an argument that uman lamarum nase, that a professional is not going to lie, may have been relevant there because it was a government organization that was not going to misrepresent. In practice, in America, we don't have government adoption agencies, especially in states like New York, which until last year had very strict laws against providing any information about adoptions in closed adoptions. Someone just said that Goldberg could have been the father being Goldberg. That is correct. But Yiddish is a pretty good indication. But to be that as it may, in America, adoption agencies are not government run, and it's a lot more difficult to rely on the representation of an adoption agency without hard proof. We had a case a number of years ago of someone who discovered someone who's already a mother with children in Shiduchim, discovered that she had been adopted and was unaware of this fact previously. And there was question as to the Jewishness of her biological parents, which posed problems because this person was not raised in an observant household. There's no evidence that there had been no evidence that there was any conversion. And this was someone living in a frum community with a frum family, who now discovered that there are questions about her Jewishness. To complicate matters further, she had a child who was going out with a Kohen. So if there would have been a need for doing a Geiris at that point, that would have made the child ineligible to marry that Kohen. So in this particular situation, someone did research, was able to find out the identity of the biological mother, which we established more definitively through a DNA test to establish that it was indeed the biological mother, and establish that the biological mother was Jewish, and therefore the adopted child was halachically Jewish. But often you don't have access to that information, and create certain complications whether we're able to ascertain or certify the Jewishness of people under these circumstances. Another situation that comes up every now and then is that of the B'nai Anusim, people that claim that they are descended from the Anusim going back to Spain and the expulsion. So in most of these situations, it's almost impossible to trace back the lineage 500 years to prove with any definitiveness Jewishness. Some of these families have certain vestiges of Jewish practices that they can represent. I met someone once who presented some kind of very elaborate leather megillah that went back in the family for a couple of generations, but it's almost impossible to prove anything definitively. So our recommendation in these situations is to do a gir lechumra, to do a pro forma conversion, just to make sure, even if they may indeed be Jewish, if we can prove it, to go through a conversion to make sure that their status is assured. There are some who have a slightly different standard for conversion under these circumstances, but generally we treat it as a regular conversion with the notation that they're considered to be Mibnei Anusim from that background. Okay. Just to highlight a couple tshuvas of Ramosha Feinstein on these topics, and then we'll close. Ramosha has one tshuva in Evan Ezer Chelek Aleph Simen Vav. Evan Ezer Chelek Aleph Simen Vav, where the question was, a woman who was not observant comes and represents that she is Jewish. So Ramosha there says, in line of what we established previously, that the believability of someone to claim that they're Jewish applies even if they're not religious, even if they're not observant. So the fact that the majority of people that represent that they're Jewish are Jewish, that gives a certain degree of believability, of credibility to someone that makes that representation, even if they're not coming from an observant background. In that particular case our Moshe was addressing, it was more complicated because of representation that there was a conversion there. And the reason that she's Jewish is because her mother converted. And there, there are questions as to whether the conversion was an acceptable conversion. And that raised questions about her credibility or her Jewishness, not because of the representation per se, but a question about the conversion itself. Then Ramosha, two tshuvas later, Chelek Aleph Simen Ches and Evan Ezer. In the other direction, a young lady who was presumed to be non-Jewish, and now she claims one day that she really had a Jewish mother, but a Jewish mother shmatted and became a practicing Christian. So in that case, in the other direction, she has no believability because there's no presumption of Jewishness. There's no, if everyone assumed that she was non-Jewish until this point, unless she could prove otherwise, there's no believability to claim Jewishness, even if she has a credible story that the mother converted. So bottom line, while in principle there is a certain believability given to someone to claims that he or she is Jewish, absent a red flag, in practice most communities have some kind of variant on the Takana going back hundreds of years of Lithuania to require some kind of proof for someone that we don't know, coming from another country, coming from another background, where we're not familiar with the family, in order to prove Jewishness. That's definitely the case in Israel. And if someone comes to get married in the U.S. as well, and we're not familiar with the family, it would be prudent for the prospective officiant at the wedding to do some research to determine that the person is indeed Jewish. And if things are complicated, to then punt that to the Beis Din as well. So I don't know how this usually works, if we open the floor for questions or we wrap up, but if there are questions, I'm happy to take them. If not, happy to sign off until next week.
Shkoyach, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yashikor, thank you so much. Looking forward to next time.
Pleasure.
Magnificent.
Stay
beautiful.
Safe, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Fascinating.